You're listening to the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast hosted by Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, and Brad Tarver. Special midweek episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast to coincide with yesterday's big Apple announcements. Well, I say big, not exactly what we were hoping for, but hey, it's a lot of stuff to talk about. So,
well, big to us.
Big to us because we love all things Apple.
All things Apple. It could be something as small as a watch band or something as big as a red iPhone.
And let's jump into that. So Apple announced yesterday the product red version of the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus. And even though I wouldn't buy one because I already own an iPhone 7 Plus, I was kind of excited. I like the idea in the abstract of the iPhone 7 Plus. Looks intriguing when you see the picture of it until you realize that it has a white bezel.
Exactly. I was going to say the same exact thing, Brian. I love that it's red.
I'm really okay with the white bezel.
It just... You know, it's like, yuck.
Ugh, Brad, as he waves his white bezel phone into the Skype video chat.
Just the worst. If you want to watch anything on it for any amount of time, that white bezel is really, really annoying. I'll be glad if they ever do in the fall the bezel-less iPhone where it's edge to edge, I'll be happy because even though I'd lose the black bezel, at least I would never have to have a white bezel and I could actually contemplate buying other colors than just the darkest ones.
No, I agree with you, Brian. I've owned one white iDevice, and it was an iPad mini several generations back, and I bought a white one just because I thought, hey, this will be, you know, let's give it a shot, and I just didn't like it as much. I really liked the look of the red iPhone also until I saw the white bezel, and I was just like, man, I really wish they would, you know, put the black front on that because, I don't know. Yeah, I like the red one because I went to school at Ole Miss. Our colors are red and blue. It would look pretty sharp if I had a red iPhone, you know, with a nice blue case or, you know, something like that you could see through something. I think it would be very, very cool, but I just don't think I would do the white front.
Maybe you could get one through Colorware and get a red or a black front.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that, though, because that's as part of the screen display is a little bit harder. So that would be, I say that, but I would have to look, but I kind of doubt it. I did see a tweet this morning where someone had made a meme. It had Drake looking all distressed at the red iPhone with a white bezel, and somebody had mocked up one with a black bezel, and then he was giving it like the thumbs up and the total approval. That's pretty much how I feel.
Yeah, I'm going to get that one from Colorware, and then I'm going to go out and get my Aston Martin and go up to Trader Joe's and shop.
You know, side note, I got my replacement JLab Epic 2s last week, and I was very slow setting them up, so I think I didn't get around to doing it until yesterday, and I actually wore them to the gym today, and I took them off halfway through and just put in the AirPods. The AirPods feel so good when I'm working out that I'm considering just buying a second pair and just, you know, sticking the JLabs in a drawer or something, because I don't see myself using them now that I'm used to using the AirPods for working out. They're that good.
You're going to buy a spare pair of sweat pods.
That's pretty much what this pair would be. Like, I would just use this for the 6 weeks until it takes me to get a new pair. And then I'm thinking, well, if I do that, if I was going to wait 6 weeks, why not just go and order the Colorware ones and just get the black ones? I could almost justify it if I didn't get the case painted and I only got the pods, the AirPods themselves painted. It's like, I could kind of do that, but I haven't pulled the trigger. In all likelihood, if I do it, it would just be another pair of white ones, but I would have to differentiate so I didn't use the sweat pods anywhere other than the gym.
Yeah, you're lucky your wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, she would flip out. She would not like that at all. So let's see, what else did Apple announce? So they announced a new entry-level iPad, which I'm kind of excited about.
That one's probably more my speed, just in that I don't necessarily need all the pro features. I really just need a glorified browser and comic book reader, not really sort of a work device where you would use a pencil or any of the other features that may differentiate the pro between the non-pro version.
After using the pro for close to a year now, I see that there's a definite need for a device like this. There needed to be a cheaper iPad, especially with the prices that you can get some of these Android tablets for that aren't completely awful. You know, I mean, they're not iPad quality tablets, but when you, for $1.99, when you can get an Android tablet or even, you know, $99 that is serviceable for like what Brad was just talking about, if you just want to, you know, read your email and browse the web, I think Apple needed to do something to crack into that space a little bit. I saw something recently, I don't know, it's probably about a week or two ago, where they showed that iPads had dropped into third place or something for tablet devices in schools. Like, it'd been passed up by Android and something else at this point. And I thought that was kind of surprising, but I think it's all about the prices of Apple devices versus, you know, the bulk price of an Android device is, I bet it's at least half. I mean, you could probably still get an Android device for $160 that is generally as serviceable as this device is for basic things. Now, you know, this one's going to have a nice A9 chip in it. And, you know, the LCD is, it will be nicer than what you're going to get on one of those cheaper Android devices, but it's still nothing like the most current iPads, LCDs or chips. So what intrigues you, Brian, about this one?
There's a couple of use cases. So I've been sort of the benefactor for my parents and in-law for when it comes to providing iPads and things like that. And my dad has an old iPad 2, not an Air 2, just an iPad 2. It can't get iOS updates anymore. So this might be a good candidate to get him, like $329 would get you a 32 gig Wi-Fi only model. And Best Buy just announced today that you can trade in old iPads for up to $150 in store credit. So I could go ahead and get them that and then go in and trade an iPad and get in, you know, credit to go toward another one. But, you know, my father-in-law has an original iPad Air, the cellular model, my old iPad Air. And that would be, again, something good that brings him into, like, if I get him something like this, I don't have to worry about upgrading it for a couple of years at least, right? The iPad Air has been around since, he's had it since 2014. And this is, what, 2017. So that would buy me a couple more years of not having to worry about it. And the specs, I mean, it's got an A9 chip, so not the A9X like we have in the Pros, but still a very recent chip. And it's pretty much the size and heft of the original iPad Air and not the 2. The only thing that's kind of troublesome is that the LCD is not laminated to the front glass like the Air 2 is, which I used to not think made a difference until you hold an Air and an Air 2 right side by side, and then you can really kind of tell. But, you know, for my dad, it wouldn't matter. For my father-in-law, it wouldn't matter. You know, my wife's iPad Mini 2 is now discontinued. And at some point, she's going to need another iPad. I would be surprised if iOS 11 ends up working on her discontinued iPad. Come June, we'll see one way or the other. So that would be a good one for her if she could part with the Mini. She didn't really like the Mini at first. Now she's so used to it, she's like, I don't know if I could go back. But having that $329 for that type of device is really kind of intriguing to me on that front. And I wouldn't have to go 128 because her phone, I think, is already 128. So, and that's where she spends most of the time doing pictures and other things. As long as you've got iCloud, you can pull things down as you need them. And she has plenty of storage in the cloud, like 200 gigs or something that she has already that she's not even close to filling up. So I think I could actually make it work for a 32 gig for most of the folks that I know if I did go that route at some point.
So I don't recall, is this one available in 32 and 128, or is there a 64 as well?
I think it's only 32 and 128. That's something that's strange that they're starting to do now, where for some of these lower-end devices, they cut out the middle size. Did you notice that?
Yeah, well, I mean, with the SE, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that for the new phone, too.
Yep, the iPhone SE, which is the other thing they announced with 32 gigs and 128 as well. And that means they're not selling any more 16 gig iPhones, finally.
Am I the only one that would love to just have another iPhone SE? Just that model iPhone is still my favorite. The feel in your hand of that model is still my absolute favorite of any they've ever made. But I'm so used to the bigger screen now. When I even see the ones that are they're that size, I'm just like, wow, that looks so small. And I don't even have the Plus, and it still looks small, that I just don't think I could do it.
A bezel-less iPhone SE would be a very compelling, something that goes edge to edge and has a high pixel density. I would have to give that some serious consideration.
Both of my kids have a 5S, and my wife and I both have a 6S. And they'll hand me their phone and say, it's doing this, can you help? And I feel like it's just minuscule in my hands because I'm just so used to my 6S. And like Jim said, you know, he doesn't even have the Plus size, and it still seems just tiny.
Now go back and get an iPhone 4S or 4 and see that and see how tiny it feels in comparison to the 5 size of the SE.
My daughter still has a 4 or 4S that she keeps in her car that she uses as an iPod, and it definitely feels and looks tiny.
And they feel like bricks because they're small, yet the weight is probably even more than the 7 is now, like for the bigger device. And they just feel, I mean, it feels good in your hands, but it's so small. That didn't sound right, did it?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely has heft. So the biggest thing about the new iPad, which is also not branded Air, it's just iPad now, is that I kind of wonder why they didn't just take the Air 2 and stuff an A9 into it. That would have been a really compelling device. That would have been great. Instead, it feels like they took an iPad Air, the original, and put an A9 into it instead and stuck Touch ID on it and called it a day, which seems really weird to me. You'd think after making the iPad Air 2, which has been out since, I think, 2014, that they would have the manufacturing down, that there would be no technical reason you couldn't do it. I can't imagine that a three-year-old chassis and build process wouldn't have comparable margins to the original iPad Air, which was only out for 1 year longer. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the 9.7 Pro, you know, has the same, like you were saying, kind of the same dimensions, and it has the A9X in it. Why wouldn't you be able to put the A9 and its board into even a Pro, an iPad Pro chassis, but just leave out all of the Pro features? Like, I guess it doesn't have four speakers or whatever, but, you know, leave out the other things that would make it a Pro.
Do you remember when the Pro devices of Apple's were the thicker, heavier devices? Now it seems like the Pro devices are actually geared up to be the lighter devices of what Apple makes. Isn't that strange?
It's like when you used to get the developer-size laptop, and the developer-size laptop would be 4 inches thick, and then the sales guy laptop would be half an inch thick.
The thing about the iPads that I guess I have a tough time figuring out, like, when did this model come out or when did that model come out? It's so nice with the phones that we have the iPhone 4, the iPhone 4S, the iPhone 5, 5S, 6, 6S, 7, and maybe 7S, maybe 8 this year. They might skip on over to 8 if it's something super amazing. Who knows? With the iPads, you know, they did just iPad, and then they did iPad Air and iPad Mini, and then now...
You forgot the iPad 2. The
iPad 2, Air 2. Well, there was iPad Electric 2, Boogaloo. iPad 3, Air 2, Mini, and now this one's back to just the iPad. I don't know. I think the reason they're able to do what you were just talking about, where they kind of went back to the Air and put a new chip in it, is that people don't realize how old the Air is. And so they could stick, you know, just a little bit of upgrade into that really old one, charge $329 for it, and it looks new for all intents and purposes to anybody that's going out and says, I want to buy the cheapest iPad I can get, you know, of the bigger iPads. I'm kind of interested to see if they don't stop making the Mini at all here soon, because the Mini, in my mind, is so close to the size of an iPhone Plus. I mean, I guess they could try to do a $199. You know, I guess the Mini starts at $249 now. I'm not even sure about that, but that sounds about right. So I don't know. It just, the iPad lineup is confusing to me. And I tend to think that I try to keep up with this sort of stuff, and it's still confusing. And I think introducing this one midweek, just as a, you know, we don't want to spend any time at any kind of keynote on this model, but we're going to push it out there. You know, I think they did that to just deflect some of the press that could have been delivered of, hey, you just put a chip in a model that's like 4 years old and you're selling it still for $329, you know, they're not going to get criticized as much if they just kind of drop that on a random Tuesday instead of having, you know, it's a part of a keynote.
So the iPad Mini now starts at $399. There's only one size. It's 128.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're trying to kill it.
So that really means they're trying to kill it off if that's the and those are specs from the fall of 2015. Why you would buy that when you could buy for the same price, actually for $70 cheaper, you could get the quote unquote new iPad with a more recent processor. It seems insane to me that anyone would do that. Sitting here thinking about it though, if the target audience, if the problem is people who bought something like the iPad Air in 2013 have been hanging on to their iPads, they haven't gotten rid of them, and this would be the next iPad that they buy 4 years later, they wouldn't know any difference. Let's say that the Pro was like, yeah, that's too expensive, I don't want that, and they just happened to skip the iPad Air 2. For them, it would be like, oh, this kind of feels exactly like the one that I have, and it's faster. So maybe that's a reason they didn't bother trying to do the Air. That also differentiates that Air form factor that's sort of with the Pro, so that there's no product confusion there. If you want the cheaper one, it's going to be heavier and a little bit clunkier than the new hotness, which itself is now almost a year and a half old.
That makes sense. I think that's about where my stepfather is in that group. I think he's got an original Air. He actually was asking me about it over Christmas, you know, maybe trying to upgrade soon. This is a perfectly compelling device for him. The 32 gig version would be ideal.
Yeah, I see one of these in my future for either my father-in-law or my dad. I haven't decided yet, but I would have to get my father-in-law the cellular model, and that would automatically make it more expensive. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Wow, yeah. So $329 for that one. Add in another $130 makes it instantly, what, $460. I mean, that's over a third of the price just to make it cellular. Ouch.
Which for my father-in-law is a necessity being out in the middle of nowhere. And now that he has unlimited on Verizon, I'm going to turn his Wi-Fi off and just make him be on cellular for everything. So we have some new watch bands. The Sport and Pebble, Azure, and Camellia. I don't even know what Camellia is. I figure I know what Pebble and Azure are. Let's see. We got the woven nylon in several new colors. The berry, Tahoe blue, orange, red, pollen, and midnight blue. Classic buckle with the new buckle design in sapphire, berry, and taupe. The new Hermes bands, which I didn't bother to put those in the notes for what they are. I mean, those are nice bands, but I don't know. Even... you're talking to a guy who has a Steel-Link band that's worth $550, but I would sort of blanch at paying $400 for one of those leather Hermes bands. Even though I like them, I think they're fairly nice. And of course the Nike Sport bands are finally standalone. So you ordered one of those, didn't you, Jim?
I did. I ordered a Sport band. I've been eyeing them since the Nike models came out, and I debated for about 30 minutes on whether I wanted black or black with the yellow. And I ended up going with the black and yellow. I was just like, if I'm going to get one, I might as well go in whole hog and get the black with the yellow dots.
As with the rest of my clothing motif, I went black on black. But I bought the band yesterday as soon as it was announced, and Apple shipped it like immediately. It was supposed to be here today, 2 days early. And I sort of screwed up. I made a mistake. When I went to buy it, I was using Apple Pay on Safari. It bypassed all of the settings associated with my account and used the address that was in Apple Pay. If there's one complaint that I have about Apple Pay, it's supposed to take the values that you have for your contact information for yourself and let you pick like work or home or whatever for your different shipping or billing addresses. That has never, ever worked right for me. I've had a PO box for at the UPS store since maybe 2002. And I know that it's right in my contacts. So when I pulled up the Apple Pay, buy now with Apple Pay, I didn't even log in to the store. I just used my details as they were on the screen. Everything looks like it's great. Everything's fine. Well, this morning I get, or should I say at around 12:30 today, I got a push notification saying, your address is incomplete. We can't deliver it today. And I go and I look and they left off the suite. Just didn't get put on there. So I immediately called the UPS store. Hey, when you have the driver, because they have the same driver come in every day. Hey, you're going to have a package for this guy that's sitting on the truck. Because it was already marked out for delivery, right? It was on someone's truck going to that area. I'm like, hey, just tell him. And of course, here's one of my complaints with UPS if I can get off on a tangent. They tell you, go in and update your address in this thing. I'm like, great, I'll do that. I go on the website, enter in all the data, hit submit. Sorry, you can't do that right now. So then you call them up.
I've been there. Some packages you just can't update. It's so annoying.
It makes no sense. And then you call them up to complain and they make you go through the automated system to also update it when really all you want is representative. You get to the end. Oh, we can't save this. Let me talk to a representative. So now I'm third time I'm having to put this in. Right now the status still shows. Ha ha! Great. Fantastic. Wonderful. It was delivered today and they closed about an hour and a half ago. So I was checking this right up until the time the store closed. No, 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 we can't deliver today. We can't deliver today. It's still updating. I updated at 12:50. They didn't update the status in the system until, I don't know, 10 minutes ago. So technically it did arrive today, but I guess I'll get it. I know it's a first world problem. Nobody cares. But man, just annoying. It was so bad that when I logged in to check my order through my Apple ID, there was no history of it in Apple's thing. I had to go in and do it by order number and email address. So this is an area where they fall down. If they're using my Apple Pay information and they know who I am, it's all authenticated. They know. Now I have this rogue order out there that's not in my order history of just this one band. So lesson learned, don't ever use Apple Pay built into Safari to try and do this. Just log in and do it like a normal person, not like a crazy person.
So I ship mine to Mississippi, to my mother's house, since I'm going to New Orleans tomorrow night and then to my mother's house on Saturday in South Mississippi. So I just sent mine to mom's house because I'm coming straight back to St. Louis for work without going home to Dallas. So hopefully it'll make it to her house in Mississippi on Friday. It's supposed to be there Friday. I figured but if it didn't make it on Friday, I've still got Saturday for delivery, just as kind of a buffer. As a side note, every week I order miscellaneous junk off Amazon because they put something stupid on sale that I just got to have. And I just ship it to my house, and or I now ship it to an Amazon locker because I don't like things shipping to my apartment when I'm not there. So because I'm not going to be home for another week, I couldn't ship to the locker, and I still didn't want to ship to the apartment. And so it was a couple of small things like some cables and whatnot. So I actually shipped those to mom's house for this weekend too. And I saved a couple extra bucks because—
There you go.
In Mississippi, Amazon doesn't charge tax, but in Dallas they do. So I saved a couple bucks on my order shipping it to mom's house, and I'll pick it up while I'm there this weekend. So taking advantage of that little loophole.
And as an added bonus, a guy named Cletus with no teeth is going to drive it up in a flatbed pickup, and he probably delivered it today.
He'll throw it up in the yard in front of mom's trailer. Joking, people. I'm joking.
Well, yeah, we're all from Mississippi. We can say that. We're from there. I just checked, actually, the delivery time. They actually delivered it 7 minutes after the UPS store closed. So there's no way I could have gotten it today. But hey, at least it's there for in the morning. It's not too far from my gym. When I go to work out, I'll swing by and pick it up. But man, what an annoyance. And I'm surprised you still haven't gotten a UPS store box. I'm surprised you're going the Amazon locker route.
I'm going to do that UPS box thing. I just haven't been home enough lately. I've been traveling so much. I've traveled every week this year, Monday through Thursday. The first week of April, I'll be home that week. For the first week, I've not traveled all year, so hopefully I'll be able to run some errands and get some things done. But here lately, it's just I've been working a lot on Fridays and hadn't been able to get out, and I didn't want to waste my Saturdays on stupid errands. I wanted to kind of enjoy myself, so I just haven't got that done yet. But I mean, the Amazon locker has been good to me. But I probably need to go ahead and just get a box at the UPS store because that would just be much easier. When I first moved in my apartment building, there was a doorman, and they would take stuff and put it in the office, and it worked pretty well. But since then, we've got a new management company, and it's not as smooth a process. And then I think that the people running it are still learning about what they're doing, and so I just don't trust them with my stuff.
Understandably. So what else did we see? The Apple Watch Series 2 is only available with the Sport Band and the Milanese Loop. So that really sort of raises the cost if you want a premium leather band or the metal link bracelet if you're a new buyer. Which having bought the Series 2 with the Sport Band because I already owned several of those bands. That's kind of new. That's a little bit disappointing because if you want to buy those standalone watch bands, like the premium ones, like the Metal Link or the premium leather, that now makes them a little more expensive if you're going to do that. So, Brad, are you ever going to jump on the Apple Watch bandwagon, my friend?
Yeah, I was actually considering one today after I saw the new watch bands. I really like the new some of the new colors on the new nylon woven ones.
Yeah, those colors. What were they again? There was the Berry, Tahoe Blue, Orange, Red, Pollen, and Midnight Blue. Which one were you? Which one did you have your eye on?
I was looking at just the midnight blue one, but there's a midnight blue one that's got pink stripes on the edges. It's kind of cool looking. They're all very attractive looking bands, I think. Some of them look like, orange sherbet or, you know, like a sherbet mix or a Neapolitan type mix. Like if you think about the ice cream type thing, or maybe sort of a Hello Kitty motif, kind of the pink, yellow, coral color or something.
Your watch is supposed to make you want to work out, not supposed to make you hungry.
Funny you say that.
Mine makes me want to work out because it reminds me, like, late in the day that you haven't filled all your circles yet, dude, unlike somebody else here.
I am almost at 70 days with every circle completed, even on weekends. So I've had the opposite travel experience. Normally, last year, I traveled enough to get status on Delta. I was on the road all the time. This year, knock wood, I have not had to go anywhere. I was threatened with New York a couple of weeks ago. Then I got out of that. And then the snowpocalypse hit. So everyone that was going got out of that. So that was kind of nice. I know at some point I'm going to have to go to just even for vacations and whatnot. I'm planning a Mississippi trip sometime in June, from what I'm told, from what my wife tells me. We're going to Mississippi in June. I know I'll find a way to do it, but there are days, man, it's this, I gotta say the best part about the Apple Watch has been my OCD kicks in. And once you get like a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's like, well, now I can't stop. I have to keep this going for as long as I possibly can. I can't tell you, there's been a couple of days in the last couple of months where it's like, man, I just don't feel like going to the gym. So, you know, it's podcast and walk around the neighborhood with a dog like three or four times until that ring fills in.
Still, it's something to motivate you and get you out of the house, even if you're not, you know, on a machine, you know, you're at least walking the dog, or, you know, you're putting in some sort of effort. You're not sitting on your can in front of the television or something.
You know what I'm thinking of doing if when I go to places like Mississippi or Kentucky where it's not really easy to get in 30 minutes of cardio is buying one of those under the desk cycle type things. I've had one on Camel that I've been watching for a while. And every once in a while, I'll get a price alert saying, hey, it's, you know, $100 or whatever. And that's like, do I want to do that? Do I not want to do it? I may end up having to do that just so that I have something that I can do as a last resort if I'm not flying, but, you know, traveling with family. But I got to say, man, that the fitness aspect of it has really made a difference. I've at least done 30 minutes of exercise a day continuously for 2.5 months. So.
Oh, I know. I get those reminders every day. And hey, Brian filled all his loops again, you lazy ass.
Hey, loser.
That's what it should say. It should say, hey, loser, Brian filled its loops. And I would probably be more motivated to get out of this hotel room and do something. It's just been so damn cold and awful in St. Louis. This week is the first week we've had some good weather in St. Louis. And now it was in the 30s again this morning. So.
Traveling makes it so tough to keep up that routine. That the one thing that I will say is that when I traveled, I would always try to stay in Starwoods because at least Starwoods always had the same kind of fitness equipment. So if you got used to using that and you liked it, any property, regardless of the brand, usually had the same equipment, same stuff. And at least I don't like change very much, so I can deal with that sort of thing. When I go to the gym, I like my own elliptical that I go to every single day, and it annoys me to no end. My OCD goes nuts if someone's on it.
Hey, can you get that guy off of my elliptical? That's my elliptical over there.
That's Sheldon's spot.
Number 6 elliptical is mine.
Didn't anyone know? I had that reserved.
So what if you went to something like...
You should get like a little nameplate on there, kind of like you get your nameplate at the bar when you have like 100 different beers, or you've sat in that bar stool for 100 nights this year or something. There should be like little nameplates on exercise equipment at gyms that says Brian has been on this elliptical for 30 days in a row or some stupid like that.
Brian has put in 500,000 miles on this elliptical.
Exactly. I have burned 85 cupcakes on this machine alone. This is mine. I have earned it. Now, I really would like that a lot. But I do like that. And that aspect of it, my brother and I, you know, share statistics. And he's in school right now. So finding the time to do school and work and work out, seeing my stuff also reminds him, hey, you know, he's got a job, he's doing this, so you need to go do it. And vice versa, if I'm not feeling like it and I see he does it, it's like, well, crap, now I have to go do it. So
have you ever thought about getting a Anytime Fitness type membership?
We have a few of those around near where I live. It's just, it seems like a lot of them go out of business. You know what I mean? Where it's, and we do have actually in the office building where I work, they do have a gym that I could just go and use, but the equipment there is not quite up to my in a pinch, I suppose I could do it. But there's two LA Fitnesses between that are equidistant from my house. And if one wasn't doing it for me, I could go to the other one pretty easily and it would be about the same commute. So
there's several of those Anytime Fitnesses around the Jackson area, probably 5 or 6 that I could think of immediately. And then I know I've seen a few of those Fitness 24/7s around, which I realize that's not the same brand or the same franchise. But
close enough.
I was just thinking if you had, you know, like an Anytime Fitness thing, maybe you could, you know, if you went to your in-laws, you would have access to something like that versus not your home gym, if you will, like, you know, whatever your current gym is now.
Funny thing is that when I go to visit my father-in-law, he lives, again, as I mentioned many times, in Amish country. So there's nothing around him. The closest LA Fitness is like 50 miles away. So that's there's not really a convenient gym of any chain that's around that I'm aware of. And when I go to visit my parents, they might as well live in Amish country where they live in Mississippi. So there's not a lot of choices there either. It's kind of unfortunate. It's like, doesn't anyone else live in a major city that I could go visit where this wouldn't be an issue? But apparently not. So there were 6 new iPhone 7 and 7 Plus cases that came out that matched the new watch bands. You guys see these? Is it something you would consider getting?
I would definitely consider getting one of the new cases. I think they're great. I'm a big fan of blue. I've always been a big fan of blue. And now they have 3 different blue cases. It's pretty awesome.
I don't know if we've covered this on here or not, but I'm not a fan of the silicone cases for the iPhones, but I love the leather ones. So I think these are all, none of these are leather colors, right?
No, they're leather.
we got the leather too. Now, I know they had the light blue and the dark blue before, and those two are still around. And those are definitely my two favorite of the leather cases. I had a dark blue one for my 6S, and now I have the light blue one for my 7. And I actually have been thinking about getting a new one because I've dropped my phone enough to where the corners on the leather case I have are definitely eroding quickly. But, I mean, the case has been great because it has protected my phone as many times as I've dropped it. But, yeah, I love the leather cases for the iPhone 7s. And I mean, I guess it was pretty much the same for the 6s. But it says a lot that Apple makes what I think is the best phone case for their phone. You know, they really put a lot into it. Of course, you know, you've got to put a lot out of your pocketbook to get them, too. So,
you know, I'm just now looking at it, but they do have the Product Red leather case. They have the, I guess every color that came out for the silicone cases also came out in leather, it looks like. So the 6 cases. So I think Sapphire was one. That was a new one, which, you know, being a sort of a dark blue, you really ought to check these out. I'm going to send these in the in Telegram real quick.
Yeah, they are very nice cases. I mean, they're very classy, sort of dark tone or cooler toned. They don't look like, they're not all candy colored, you know. I mean, definitely the red one, you know, the Product Red one is definitely red, but the other ones all kind of have a dark sort of tone to them. I love them, and I think they're awesome colors.
And they age well. They age very well. Yeah. Either of the blues. I think the Midnight Blues, if that's not the one they had before for the 6S, I had that blue. And then late in the product cycle, they came out with that lighter blue, and I went with that lighter blue. But the Sapphire looks sharp, too. So we'll see. I'm definitely going to look into them and see which one I like. Just check in at the Apple Store and see what the new colors look like and decide which one I want. But I need to get one.
I might have to get that the Product Red, either in silicone or leather. I wonder if it's available in silicone.
I think the one I have now is sea blue. The sea blue is the case that I have now.
It is available in silicone.
They also make the battery case if you do the Apple battery case in Product Red. So which one is that, Jim, that you have?
That was the sea blue. I actually have a different case on my phone right now because this one's kind of beat up. But this one I just throw in my laptop bag and it's still there in case I feel like switching if I'm OCD that day and want my favorite case back on my phone.
Interesting. I'm feeling this Product Red case right now in silicone. I may end up having to just pull the trigger on that. That way I'd have the black bezel. And if I pull the case off, I have the jet black. So it's best of both worlds.
Nice thinking.
There you go. Red case, black bezel. We've come full circle.
Finally, a way to keep me satisfied with the cases. So let's see what else. So they also announced a video app called Clips. So did you guys see this Snapchat-like product without the social network aspect?
There was a press release for it, and I went through, watched some of the video clips that they had included in it that sort of shows the operation of the app, and it's pretty neat. There's one filter on there that sort of looks like a scanner darkly, where I think the technique is called rotoscoping, and I always thought that was kind of a neat effect for video.
It seems like a pretty neat little tool. My nephew, who's 13, has started doing a lot of little videos with his iPad mini, and then recently, about a month or two ago, finally got an iPhone, and he's been shooting some videos and doing some stuff, and I know that he has Instagram and I think Snapchat too. And I'm not sure if the parentals are aware of that or not, but he added me. So this seems like a kind of nice little tool for him to be able to do some of that stuff that you might be able to do with Instagram or Snapchat without letting kids into the social aspects of those kind of things if you're not ready for that yet. So that's kind of neat, I think.
The other thing is, too, iMessage, with the number of users that it has, is nothing to sneeze at, right? So, you know, we tend to think of it as just text messages, but so many, everyone that has an iPhone, whether they want it or not, has the capability of doing this. And I have a lot more blue bubbles than green bubble friends. So I think the utility there is kind of nice. You can also dictate the captions that go on the video. So instead of, you know, putting like the text in the middle of the screen like you would do with Snapchat or Instagram, you can actually just speak it and it will do it. It also had audio clips that will adjust themselves to the length of the video that you shot, as I understand it. So that's pretty neat too.
Blue bubble friends for the win.
I do like that meme with Judge Judy I saw on Instagram, where it's like, who am I to judge? And then when I see green bubbles and all of a sudden it's Judge Judy looking all stern.
No, I totally agree with that. I think we had that discussion a few weeks ago about dating sites and seeing green bubbles. Yeah, that's a definitely a libido killer.
So the other thing that happened this week, well, our rentals are no longer bound to the device that they're purchased on, which, you know, unless you do a lot of renting, this doesn't seem like a big deal, I guess, but it's extremely frustrating the first time you try it and you get bit by it. I can remember a couple of years ago, I rented my first movie on my computer. It's like, I'll go watch it on my Apple TV. And it's like, no, that's bound to the device that you rented it on. And I thought, what year is this? Why is this possibly happening? I know in the past that rentals were sort of treated like pay-per-view. That's why you have 30 days to watch them from the time you rent them. And if you start viewing it, you have 24 hours to finish it. It's treated just like any other pay-per-view type of event. So I thought that was a little bit strange. Maybe they've gotten away from that, but that's something that's long overdue. It's only available on the newest version of iTunes, and I guess it'll be iOS 10.3. Same as Clips, by the way.
I'm going to be honest, say that I didn't know this was still a thing. I've rented sparingly, but I have rented, and I guess I've almost solely done it via my Apple TV. So I didn't know this was still a thing.
It came up in conversation between Brian and I just a few weeks ago. We were doing something with iTunes, and he mentioned to me, "Oh, you can't watch across devices." And I don't think I was ever aware of that, because I thought, "Hey, I could do it here and then watch it here," and that is not the case. So I think this is definitely a welcome change, even if it is a small change.
It probably only affects a handful of people, but there are times that let's say I'm out somewhere and I'm bored and I'm just sort of browsing on my phone and I see a movie that's on sale that's cheap to rent that I wanted to see. I would love to just be able to rent it at the time, not think about it, and then when I get home, watch it on my Apple TV without having to AirPlay it or do something silly like that. So it doesn't seem like a big deal, but man, it's super convenient for me. Not that I rent as much anymore, you know.
Yeah, me neither.
That's a different story. They really sunset 10.5.3, they sunsetted 1080p.
Why'd you have to sunset iTunes 10.5.3? Oh, well. I think that's all that I have to talk about this week. Do you guys have anything else? Any other final thoughts on the announcements that were made? Or I guess I should say press releases that came out?
So I had one thing that was not related to the press releases. I finally upgraded my Mac to the latest beta earlier this week, and then actually today updated it to, I don't know, beta 8 or whatever it is for the latest point release for OS 10. And Bluetooth is finally working as I would expect with my Logitech mouse. It's still not perfect, but it is 58 times better than it was before. I don't know. I mean, it's empirically, it's much, much better. Every now and then I'll see some lag or something like that. But for the most part, I can use my Bluetooth mouse with my Mac. It's available when the Mac wakes up. It'll wake up the Mac. It really is finally functioning as I would expect it to. So yay for that.
Are you only on the Mac OS beta, or are you doing the iOS? Either of you doing the iOS betas or watch betas or anything like that?
Mac beta only for me.
What about you, Brad?
I am solely gold releases. I'm not beta on anything right now.
I've been doing 10.3 beta for, I guess, the entirety of the beta cycle. So it's in like its sixth or seventh release. I actually thought it would be out by now. I have to guess that it's probably within the next week or so it's gonna finally drop. But it's been pretty stable for me. I can't remember why I tried it.
8 actually came out today.
I think it was the
beta 8. Yeah.
Did it?
Sorry, not iOS. Mac OS, sorry.
I was about to say, because this was watch betas out and Mac OS beta was out, but this was the first time that I've seen them do betas and not roll the corresponding iOS ones out, only doing it for the watch and the Mac. I think the reason I did it was the 10.3 betas had the ability to make phone calls from the devices without having to use the device, the iPhone, as the originating device. So your iPad can make calls on your carrier without relaying either through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth back to your phone to do it. It's actually sort of a standalone phone now. So that was enough for me to sort of give that a shot. Not that I've gotten a lot of calls. The other thing that I'll throw in is shout out to the Nomo Robo, which I think I tweeted about. I paid the $20, I did the free trial, and it's been remarkably good. And even though they say that, oh, you know, we really wish we didn't have to send them to voicemail, I think sending them to voicemail is good enough. I like to see that people try to call, even if it's garbage calls. And the fact that they're flagged as Nomo Robo in your voicemail and missed calls is really nice. But I haven't gotten a garbage call since in the month that I guess that I've been doing the free trial. It's been nice.
I just showed two coworkers that today. Like, we were in the all-day meeting, and one girl in there got, like, three calls during the day and was complaining. And I'm like, you need to try No More Robo. It's like a commercial, you know? And, you know, I showed her what to search for on the App Store, and she's like, oh, wow, this, you know. She's like, it actually works with the phone app or whatever. I'm like, yeah, it's built in there. You know, you turn it on and it works through that. And they were all excited to try it out. I love it as well.
Hopefully they won't be put off by the $20 a year fee. I mean, again, I've tried the free ones, and the free ones haven't worked very well for me at all. And by haven't worked very well, I mean, they don't work at all for me. And those were broken in the 10.3 betas too for the longest time, where any ability to use a call filter at all had stopped. So I think around beta 3 or 4, it came back, and that's when I tried the No More Robo.
I need to go ahead and upgrade to the year, because I was just paying the $2.99 a month, but I like it enough that I need to go ahead and just pay the $20 and get it for a year.
I figured if it even only worked halfway, $20 was not an unreasonable thing to block it. But so far, I mean, it's been golden. And I've been feeding numbers into it too. If the odd, usually Georgia-based number pops up that I'm not familiar with, just to make the process better. But I haven't had to do a lot of that. It's caught far and away most of them. So that's been nice.
Well, you know, you blow $20 on other things. So if it even, like you said, even if it shows half of the utility that you think it does, you know, you've probably spent your money well.
That's just a iTunes gift card from Kroger for 4x fuel points for me. So, you know, it's no big deal.
And No More Robo, if you're listening out there and would like to sponsor our nice little tech podcast, we love your product. Come talk to us.
Speaking of podcasts, I'm going to go off the rails, go off on a tangent, do a little bit of off-topic material. The last episode of the Finding Richard Simmons podcast came out today, and I was listening to that. That was pretty good. Apparently, that got his attention. Not to give any spoilers away, if you haven't listened to the podcast, it's only like 5 episodes long, and it's done now. But it's worthwhile to go back and listen to them. Each episode's about half an hour. Even if you don't care anything about Richard Simmons, it's just a fascinating. I learned a lot about the guy. You know, growing up, he was always just this weird, flamboyant character that would pop up on talk shows every once in a while, and usually be subject to much ridicule and joking. But a lot of interesting stuff I learned in those little half hour shows about this guy that I didn't know.
I need to give it a shot, definitely.
The amount of money this guy made was talked about in one of the episodes of, I think, Sweatin' to the Oldies when he invented that. I think it was like he sold $160 million worth of those videos and DVDs over the years. Like he raked in a nice hunk of change off of those products. So if you're looking for a very short-lived podcast to listen to, it's kind of fascinating, just the stuff that you learn about in regards to his life. So that's kind of neat. And I went back and I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast that Jim recommended that had Ben Thompson from Stratechery on. And I'm really thinking about getting a subscription to his site. I find out of all the years, I guess the 4 years or so that I've been reading his stuff, the free post that he does every week, I've never read anything where it's just like, oh, this is garbage. I completely disagree. Like everything that he says, the one thing that I admire about that guy more than anything is that when he lays out an argument for something, you can see that the points are well thought out, and it's usually an angle that you may not have considered. So I think that guy, he's a good person to emulate if you want to learn how to think about some of these issues. And that's what I find fascinating, something where it's the posts are always quality.
Yeah, I can second that. I not that I have a subscription yet either, but I listened to his podcast. The podcast with Bill Simmons was really good. And so it's funny, kind of funny with this Richard Simmons podcast. It's like almost more famous in death than it was in life, right? You know, it got a whole lot of press when it started, and then when it ended, like, it was everywhere. I saw stories all over the place about, hey, you know, the podcast was coming to an end. So that's kind of crazy. So
not to give any spoilers, but the last episode, they teased all these things that were going to happen, and they gave little sound clips from it, and they pretty much had to throw all of it out for the final episode. And I won't go into any more than that, but they even released the last episode a couple days early, I think, because of all the press they've gotten and the statement that came out. And well, anyway, you'll just have to listen to it. If you liked Serial, this isn't anything on the same caliber as Serial, but the thing that I like about Serial is that it starts with something, you know, there's a finite number of episodes, and it's going to tell you a story in parts that you can listen to. And this is the same thing, except it's just over a much, much shorter time frame. So do check it out. Well, I think that should do it for our special episode. And I guess we'll be back this weekend to record at our normal time.
Well, we'll see you then.
All righty. Yep. Everybody have a good week.
Later, fellas.
Later, faders.
Bye, fellas.
Damn it, Brad.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. You can find us on Twitter. The Twitter handle for the show is @infinloopback. That's @infinloopback. I am @BrianB. That's @BrianB. Jim is @BigJim. That's @BigJim. And Brad is @MeesterIdle. That's @MeesterIdle. Thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.